Look at this. I got headphones on. I got a mic going. Baby.
If only people could see you now.
Hey, no video. We've gone through this before.
All right,
No
all right,
video.
all right. Welcome to This Commerce Life. This is a podcast aimed at small, medium entrepreneurs focused on commerce. I'm Phil, your host, and Kenny, your co-host, will join us as well. And we're going to talk to you about the world of retail and commerce and how things are changing in the world.
Great. Pleased to virtually meet you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to meet you too. Yeah. I've got my screen off. I keep mine off just cause I've got poor resolution on this webcam, but,
okay. No problem. I will.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine to put your face up if you want. Yeah.
I don't think anyone really wants to look at that, Phil. So
it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
How are things?
Great. Great. Yeah. How about with you? I had a little chat with Kenny this afternoon. It was great.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, things are well. Things are well. Things are busy as always, but but good, right? So having fun. That's what really matters. So yeah. Yeah. Man, are you also based in Vancouver?
Yeah, I'm based in Vancouver. Our head office is in New Westminster, so just outside of Vancouver, just a suburb, and I live in Tawasin, a different suburb.
Okay. Yeah. I used to, long time ago, I used to come out and call on London and a bunch of accounts out there. So know the area, love it. Love it. I'm based in Toronto. I wish I was out in Vancouver. So
are you right in Toronto?
No, I'm outside it. I'm in a suburb called Mississauga. So
okay, yeah, that's close to the airport, right?
Yeah. I
wasn't there. I don't think I was there last year, but I'm often there once a year for a conference.
Okay.
We used some sales, a sales guy named Kevin Graff. Have you heard of Graff Retail?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's in Jax. That's our sales training platform, and okay. so we send our managers. Any new manager goes through his seminar there.
Okay.
Which he gives once or twice a year. So
nice.
I often come with new managers.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look me up the next time you're out here.
I will. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. That'd be very cool. Very
Especially
cool.
If you're close to the airport.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we go there, we go to we try and hit the Distillery District.
Yeah.
One night, and there's a great Mexican restaurant there. Is it El Catril?
Yes. Is that it? It's something like that. What's it called now? I know exactly where it is. I can't think of the. I'm so bad with names.
Yeah.
El Catrin.
El Catrin,
I think is what it's called. Yeah, but that's a great restaurant.
Yeah, we stumbled upon it the first time we went there, and now a couple times since we came been back, that's the place we go.
Yeah. There's Toronto's kind of been through, like, we had all these like really terrible Mexican restaurants, and then now I feel like every corner has an authentic Mexican something. There's one place further to the, like, closer to the downtown core, and all they do is tacos. So they make their own shells, you know, the whole bit, and that's all they do is tacos, but they are amazing tacos. And I don't know, it's I don't think you never complain that. If that came out like a complaint, I didn't mean it that way. I literally love it that every I can go to, I can get good Mexican.
No, it's good. I mean, in the States, Chick-fil-A has made a living off of just making chicken sandwiches, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like this amazing thing, right? So
I want to say it to everybody.
Do what you do well. Oh, Kenny, you're on video.
I'm in the kitchen.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Not bad, buddy. All right, man.
Kenny, you actually look better on video than in person. Great.
Wow, that's a good start to the old podcaster. Holy shit, even Phil's nicer than that. Where's your ugly mug?
No, I'm keeping mine off. My bandwidth is a little funny tonight, so.
Okie dokie, Smokey.
Yeah.
Oh, what's going on in the kitchen?
Oh, we're literally talking about Mexican kitchens, so. Talking about good Mexican in Toronto, so, yeah.
Oh, cool. And where's good Mexican in Toronto?
Everywhere. Literally,
I'm there next week, bud.
You're just out here night. Really?
Yeah, just one night. But we're okay. flying in Tuesday and leaving Wednesday.
Next Tuesday. So what are you doing Tuesday for dinner?
We're with our peeps.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, no. So we're just for a couple hours see Purity, and then we're gonna see Loblaws, and then we're off to see Bulk Barn, and then flying home.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
Wow. Okay.
All good in the hood, baby. But I'm back there in September for CHFA.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Bring it on. Bring it on.
For sure. So I'll let you know. You know that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got a chance to meet Mr. Dumas.
I did. Do you want to introduce Tim to the audience?
Oh, I could do that. Yeah, I guess so. So I haven't known Tim long. I've only known Tim for 4 months, maybe.
Yeah, about that.
Something like that. Did some work or got a contract with Tim and his group at Jack's Liquor Stores, largest private liquor store in the province of BC. Tim's the head honcho there, the big cheese outside of the old man, who's really the big cheese.
I don't know about that.
So he's like the little cheese of the big cheese.
COO, yeah.
No, you're not CEO. CEO is the other.
No. I said CEO.
CEO for sure. Not CEO. Yeah. CEO.
Sometimes C.
Maybe, but definitely not the other one. So Tim's in charge of. Tim's in charge of running the liquor stores. Plus, he's got a multitude of other things going on. He likes. He's a little bit like Lori, or Carrie. Those people, like, he likes coaching.
He's
likes
smart. Training. He's focused.
Well, focus, right? I'm not going to give him necessarily focus. He's definitely smart. Focused, I don't know, maybe a little bit, maybe sometimes not too much. I don't know.
Yeah.
You can figure it. You know what? You got 45 minutes to an hour. You figure it out. You tell me what you think he is.
No.
I like him. He's a nice guy.
You got it. Man.
Right? And I thought he'd be kind of cool because, you know, it's you know, lick. I mean, come on. Who doesn't want, you know, it's like the coffee bar. Like, why would you not want to own a coffee bar? Like, why would you not want to work for a liquor store?
Yeah.
Very seriously, come on.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Sorry, that's Tim. Oh, Tim, and he's a young guy and a father of six.
Six,
Phil. I said six.
Wow. hats off to you.
Way younger than you, Phil.
Yeah, that part is true. I don't know if I'm young, though.
Yeah. No. Hats off. Phil. Six kids.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, what ages are they?
The oldest is 14. The youngest is three. And then four in between. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. Amazing. Crazy. And you're so welcome to the show. We're excited to have did Kenny kind of give you the lowdown on what we do and all.
Are
that
you
kind of
prepared,
stuff?
Right? Like, you got your notes?
Absolutely. Hey, I told you this afternoon, Kenny. I would
be prepared. Phil, I said, listen, you better get your shit together. Don't go home and study and write good notes and be ready. Because Phil and I are prepared for our podcast.
Oh yeah, no, I've listened to all the other episodes. I'm ready to go. You know, I know what you're doing.
I love it.
You do.
Yeah. So that's really cool. So COO, liquor chain. So in my experience, anytime you're the CEO, you know, the CEO makes up ideas, and then you got to go figure out how to make some of that stuff work, and then figure out what ideas are good and what ideas you're actually going to be able to run the business with. So that kind of
tell us what you do, Tim.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping you would tell me what I do, Kenny. That's why I'm no.
I'm not on the clock now, buddy. This is all free time. This is all free time.
Yeah, Kenny and I talked about that earlier today. He said, well, Tim, just tell us what you do. And I said, Kenny, that's what I have you for, to tell me what I do. No, I mean, it's a unique business, and unique in a fabulous way, because it's a fourth generation family business. And there's six business partners, which include my uncle, what Kenny would call the head honcho. We, you know, lovingly refer to him as the chairman, and then my four cousins. And so it's a really unique business model, but really, really exciting. So yeah, obviously the CEO is kind of getting the big picture strategy, and we got to find a way to put it into practice with the people. And that's the most exciting part for me, is the people. And I love the people development part. And that's why I couldn't love more what I do.
That's amazing. And then I mean, Jack's, you know, how many stores do you have?
Currently have 13 stores throughout BC.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Throughout BC.
There was 15. One ended up with fire damage. That's going to be hopefully fixed by, I'm guessing, the end of next year, mid to end of next year.
It'll be about 2021. Yeah.
Yeah. And then anyway, there's a closure.
One that was closed and it's being redeveloped. So we'll have that open probably in 2021 as well. So
that's Vancouver. Don't get too excited.
Yeah.
Permits could take the 2021.
I would just like to say for the audience that we love all the cities and they do a very great job for us when we're redeveloping.
Wow. Nice. What a suckhole.
Jesus. Oh, that's so fantastic. I gotta say, so I was in Vancouver, I don't know, end of June, and I think I was in the Granville store.
Okay. There's one on Granville and 10th.
Granville, and it was really nice. Does that sound right?
There's one on Granville and 10th by the I don't know, Bed Bath & Beyond or Restoration Hardware.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, it was really great. Yeah.
Hopefully, great service. That's our calling card.
It was really great. I was going on a cruise with a family, and my brother-in-law, basically texted me and said, "Listen, the cruise ship's going to let you bring one bottle of wine on. Go get a bottle of wine." I said, "I'm not drinking on the cruise," and he went, "No, it's not for you, dummy. It's for us. So go get something." And so I literally wandered in there and went, "Hi, I need something to bring on a cruise." And they're like, "Okay," but they were amazing. They kind of had some great questions and had some thoughts around it. Picked us out something really nice and local. It was great.
Great.
The concepts are pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, really. So, I mean, to get it sort of think, if you think, Tim, like, and it's because you know what my perception was of private liquor stores, mm-hmm. Before I sort of got the gig with you guys, right? So, you know, I don't know why I would ever have gone to a private liquor store. Publics are there. They're open 7 days a week. The privates that had ever gone into, I look, prices seemed high. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, I mean, if I'm in a pinch and it's, you know, 11 o'clock at night and I need something, I would go. But since going to our stores, like, it's definitely changed it. So what some of the challenges with the perception, like, I hold, what do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really our marketing challenge, and it's only evolving over time and getting that word out that we are competitive both in pricing. We have a great unique product selection. When people come in, it's not unusual, like you said, Kenny, that people say, "Wow, I didn't know this existed," or you even had some of these products that I'm looking for. So, you know, you hit the nail on the head that getting that word out is the big thing. How can we do that better? And obviously we're doing that in many traditional channels, but I think we're doing some non-traditional channels as well with some of the events we're doing. So we've been somewhat successful in having these big, you know, beer pairing dinners, wine pairing dinners, at locations close to a lot of our stores.
So what would you do in those? Like, if I'm a consumer or Joe on the street, how do I hear about these? How do I participate? Can I participate? Like, is it open to anybody?
They're open to anybody. And, obviously through our stores, you'd see the advertising through our social media website, et cetera. And you know, a lot of people don't know, you know, what a beer, what a wine pairing dinner, what a beer, wine and spirits pairing dinner is. And maybe the best way to describe it was when we did our grand opening in Williams Lake, and we invited, 50 different influencers from around the city, from the mayor to the, you know, to city council, to the business community, to other people in the beer, wine and spirits industry, and just enthusiasts. And we took them through a cool dinner. We had started with an appy and paired it with a cool cider, and then dinner paired with both a wine and a beer. And we had our specialists and our category managers who came up and talked to the people there about, you know, why you would pair it with it, why it pairs really well. And we put the icing on the cake with a little apple pie, and we poured some Jefferson's Ocean Bourbon over top, which acted like the caramel over top. And it was an outstanding evening. And that's the kind of thing where people get to see that. And they say, this is what the experience is like at Jack's. We're going to help you create these experiences with our products, because we sell experience, not simply just a product.
How cool is that, eh, Phil? It's the stuff we talk about, like trying to get our little, because this is not a massive retailer, right? I mean, they do good business, but we're not talking, this isn't Walmart or, you know, like IKEA. This is a small business, and yet totally sort of get the game, get what people really want today, right?
So here's the thing that I think is really amazing, right? Like, I think, you know, indie retailers all struggle with this idea of experiential, how do I do this? And these are, you know, typically, you know, retailers that maybe have one or two stores, and they, you know, oh, it's so complex. And yet you've been able to do this over your, you know, kind of like dozen stores that you've got, you know, and be able to make that work, right? Like, I think that's really amazing. I think the question I would have in there is the experiential moments are amazing. Do you find, is there a direct or indirect correlation to sales? Like, I think that's, you know, usually what retailers ask is like, oh, I got to do this thing, but is it really going to drive me traffic? Is it going to drive me, you know, sales, that sort of thing? Do you know?
Hey, well, this is getting into data analytics and something we're getting more and more into. And that's the massive question. I can tell you that after doing some of these events, sales go up. Mm-hmm. You know, I can tell you just simply in, we did a great event. They had a beer wine, they call it a beer wine, a brews and blues festival in Campbell River. Okay. And we have two stores in Campbell River, and being at that event and doing this similar pairing dinner that I talked about that we did in Williams Lake, afterwards we'd have people come into our store that we hadn't seen before. And now look, there could be a million other correlations for that. I can just tell you that, there is a correlation between people coming in the store and getting to know what we do, because 50 people might come to that dinner. And if they talk to 50 people, you know, hopefully we're getting into in a position where they're becoming raving fans of Jack's and saying, hey, look, I experienced this at Jack's. I wasn't even in the store. You know, they have some of these things at the store that can help me. I don't know what kind of red wine I want to drink with my steak, mm-hmm. but you know, there are people there that are trained to help me get into that. So, you know, Phil, if you can help us with the data analysis part and how to analyze that to correlate it perfectly, I'd love to know, because we're always trying to figure that out better. I can tell you there's seemingly a correlation.
There is, I mean, they're not, you know, for all the data that we've got, right, there's no exact way to do that still. I mean, the correlation between, look, we ran the event and then we get a lift in traffic coming into the store, we get a lift in sales is a good number. There's probably a handful of things that you could do in between to tune that a little bit more. You know, sometimes it's old school stuff, right? So it could be as simple as like, hey, you know what? We're going to give you coupons. So, you know, you come to the dinner event, I'm going to give you a specific coupon for that event.
Drive me back to the store.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen them do that with, you know, Instagram type stuff. So, you know, everyone likes, you know, the food stuff that you do. You know, that's an interesting way to do it, because everyone wants to take a picture of their dinner or the dessert, you know, and tag that, right? And so that's another way to do it is for you to drive some of that social media stuff, is to go, you know, that bourbon over apple pie, take a picture of this, do any one of the funky Instagram things that you can do. You can, you know, there's the really cool one where you reverse the procedure. So you can film someone pouring the liquor, and then, you know, Instagram reverses it and pulls it out. So it's, you know, like those sort of things. And then the tag, so that when they show up in your store, you guys could record that, right? To say you either saw that or you were a friend of someone who was at the event and have come into the store because of that, right? So some of those things can help you track a little bit tighter along the ways, to kind of help you speak to that uplift. But I think the events you're doing are kind of spot on for the audience today, right? And what they want. So it's very cool.
I think it's totally spot on. I think some of it, Tim, though, is that try to it's, and you know, you'll have Dennis be working on it. They've got a new marketing person too, Phil. That's he's a really good shit, right? And he'll figure a lot of this out. And he comes from more of a traditional retail type environment, but it's drawing people back. Like, give me a reason to come back in the store, you know? And it could be small coupons off some of the stuff I had that night.
Yep.
It could be come to the store and there's no discounts, but maybe the recipes have all been compiled really nicely.
Yeah.
I know like on, I mean, some of the challenges I have, and this is what Phil, this stuff would drive you nuts, is try to find Jack's online. It's JAKS, Beer, Wine, and Spirits.
I found him right away.
I struggled on DuckDuckGo, so I don't know if it's a browser issue. But even there's like things we've talked about, and I know Tim's looking at stuff like this, is when we're doing events, film the events. You don't have to go like hardcore, you know, like CBC, CTV, but iPhones, short clips for Instagram. I love the idea of using sort of the boomerang effects on Instagram that shows you the pouring and off pouring. You know what I mean? Like that cool one you were talking about.
Yeah.
But anything to kind of get some excitement, because the product itself is, like, it's booze, man. I mean, seriously, how hard is it to sell booze? Like, booze is such a cool experience. It's weddings, it's graduations, it's promotions. It's sitting down, looking at a sunset. It's, you know, alcohol and stuff like that can be totally experiential. Aside from the fact it's got a lot of negatives, but we won't go into those parts. that's a different beast, right? Well, let's stay on the fun side.
We're very lucky. We're a really fun business. I was talking to Phil earlier about, we work with Kevin Graff at Graff Retail at Toronto, and he does a lot of our sales training, right? And he talked, one of our managers once asked him a question. They're like, well, how do we make it fun at Jack's? He's like, well, maybe the better question is, tell some of the gas stations I work with how they make it fun. Who gets excited about going exactly. to buy gas? They're like, yes, I can't wait to go to buy gas today to fill up my car. No, said nobody ever, right? So he said, I'm working with these guys trying to make it exciting for people to come to the gas station, the convenience store, the gas station. He said, you guys are selling beer, wine, and spirits. 99.99% of the people are already pumped up just for being there, and you just got to keep the ball rolling.
Exactly. Give me a reason to get excited, right?
Yeah.
Phil, this is the guys I was telling you about. Remember that return policy?
Yep.
That's amazing. That you and I still can't quite figure out.
The Jack's
guarantee. Tell us what Jack's, how Jack's handles customers and their potential returns.
Well, here's, you know, one great quote I love is the greatest opportunity to make a moment of magic with a guest is when there's a moment of misery, right? If you come into the store and you know what kind of wine or beer you're going to buy, and you buy it and you go out, it's a little more difficult to make that interaction a complete moment of magic. We're still going to work our tails off to do that, but it's a little more difficult. If you come in and you're upset, and I have the greatest opportunity to change that because you're ready, you're ripe for us to make that into a moment of magic. And so when we're thinking about this, that's how we came up with the Jack's guarantee policy. And obviously, you know, we've all heard the stories of Nordstrom and how they returned a set of tires when they didn't even sell the tires. And, you know, so we said, why can't we do that? And it's just a mindset, because so many times we're like, well, nobody does that in our industry. Well, we asked the question, why not? So we just came up with this return policy. If you're unhappy with your product, we will return it. And what's happened, we have loyal people who try different products, because what do we want them to do? We want them to try different and cool products. And, you know, if I'm spending more than I normally would on a bottle of wine, scotch, beer, whatever, what would keep me from doing that is fear that I'm going to be wasting my money.
Yeah, you're going to get
hit with something. Why should the guest? Why should the guest, our guest, hold the risk, right?
Yeah.
We're in business to help them get the best bottle of wine, beer, spirits that they can. And we're there to ask the right questions to help find that for them. And what happens if we do that properly, 99.99 times out of 100, they're happy. And the times that they aren't, we take it up on ourselves and say, well, that was our fault. And we're in business for you.
That's still an amazing policy.
I think it is too. Like, really, especially is. For a small company. I mean, I can see monster companies doing that, you know, because there's an endless pit of,
there's really only one, right? Like the, yeah. Like Costco does that, right? Like Costco's kind of got this,
but Costco also tracks this. Remember, Costco knows that you purchased it.
I totally get it. And Costco wouldn't, right? Like, so if you brought something back that wasn't theirs, they would absolutely not take it back, but they really would.
But if they know it's theirs, or there's a chance that was in their system, they're taking it back.
Yeah, yeah. But beyond them, though, it's really unheard of, right?
Yeah. I mean, Nordstrom's is the other one, yeah. But there's so few.
Yeah, yeah.
If anything, the ones who used to do that have all changed because they've gone the opposite way, where you're looking at it as a liability. And I think you're looking at it the right way, Tim, is that it's the liability is having that person just not being happy with a purchase that they're going to do again. Why do that to them? You know, I would never buy a $200 bottle of scotch myself because my fear would be that I've had scotch that I don't like. $200 is not a lot of money, but $200 is $200. I'm not going to, you know, flush it down the toilet just for funsies. And if I open the bottle up and the first sip sucks, like, fuck, I'm going to be pissed, man. That's $200 right down the toilet bowl. Like, honestly, that just irks me. Yeah. But knowing that I can take a chance. Now, the only chance of the really where I'd have is Amelia killing me because I bought a $200 bottle of scotch or more, but we can manage through that one. But I don't want it to be a shitty bottle.
But if I do the right job with you, Kenny, and I'm serving you in our stores, I'm going to ask the questions. Do you need with scotch? Do you like peaty or smooth? Do you, you know, what are the kinds of things that you like? And I can have a pretty good idea of what you're going to like and get you into that right thing. And then the odd time that I don't, then it's on me. It's not on you. Why should it be on you when you don't know? I should be the expert. I should be able to help you with that. And if I don't, I got to own it.
Yeah, I get, and like conceptually and philosophically, that's awesome, and I love it, and I think that spot on. But you know as well as I do, in reality, especially with small business, that's a really tough nut for them to crack and swallow. I mean, it's just a tough one because they get into the worry of people going to abuse it. I mean, you still have to bring the receipt and the bottle back. You know, after the fifth bottle of scotch.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, what are you going to do? Like, if they keep coming back and it's like 90% gone, I mean,
you know,
sooner or later you're going to wake up. But how many people are really going to do that? One in 1,000? One in 10,000?
Yeah, not hardly. I can tell you from having the policy. It's does anybody ever scam a system? Sure. I'm sure they do. But it's rare because most people have a healthy sense of, you know, self
right and wrong,
or, yeah, that they're not going to do that. There are some people that do, but if I'm creating my policies for my business for the 1% or less than 1% that might look to scam us, why am I trying to screw the other great 99% of our people to serve the 1%? It doesn't make
sense. Good attitude.
When you think of it that way, it doesn't make sense.
That's a great way to look at it, though. And that's I still think it's a little more difficult for small businesses to wrap their heads around that. And that's why me, Phil and I have been talking about having you on specifically, but even in terms of representing Jax, because I just think it's such a great, it's just these little things that are amazing. I got my mom and dad shopping you guys now.
That's awesome.
Because my mom loves going in because they're so nice and they help and they just walk us through and she's on. I'm thinking, okay, Ma, relax. It's a bottle of wine. Let's bring it down a notch, right? Yeah. But she loves it. And she's figured out that the pricing is on what a liquor, like the normal liquor stores charge. And then there's this whole ton of other stuff that the liquor store doesn't carry. Mm-hmm. And they can't get anywhere else. Like, she didn't realize that either. She thought it was like what I thought. If it's in a liquor store, it's in the privates. I didn't know there was a whole freaking subculture of really cool products that, you know, I didn't know we were even available. Yeah. Who the hell knew that? Who tells people these things?
Yeah, you don't hear. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of products available in BC and only a small fraction of them in the government stores. Well, you know, you can only carry so much, right? So we can find those. And we have people that work full time trying to find those cool niche products where if you're looking for a certain, you know, Chilean wine, you know, we can find that you probably haven't seen before and it's going to be really cool. And then next time you come in, I'll find you something else or that same wine again. it's that's our niche.
So it's really funny because here in Ontario we don't have a lot of private liquor companies, and the ones that are out here are quite frankly not very good. But at the LCBO, LCBO's, you know, for the listeners, it's the Ontario Liquor Board, Liquor Control Board. And, you know, they have stores all over the province. And the funny thing is, people actually track which LCBOs are good. So which ones have good people in them, which ones are not so good. And people will drive, you know, kind of 40, 45 minutes out of their way to go to the right LCBO where they've heard there's someone there who knows their stuff on vintage wines or, you know, so and so forth. I'll see if I can find it. There's like a Reddit subculture on like, you know, LCBO stores in Ontario and which stores have what experts in them. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's a thing, that, if I can find it, I've been looking for it because, I think when I first started, you know, this, when I first started in startup culture has a really deep ingrained relationship with Scotch. And when I think the first time, somebody bought me a bottle of Laphroaig, right? And I can't stand this stuff. but exactly.
Bought it at Jack's, but he could have bought it back.
Yeah, no. Hey, but
that's next time you're in town, just bring it back. We'll find you something that you can you'll like, Phil. Don't worry.
Well, it took like I had the damn bottle for like 2 years, right? And I couldn't, you know, you kind of know like this is good Scotch. I really shouldn't, you know, I can't just chuck it or pour it out. And then I found this Reddit the subreddit where people would actually trade, you know, bottles of open Scotch because they, you know, they had found they bought this stuff and didn't like it and was looking for it. So it took me like a couple of months to figure out what I liked. And then I had like four bottles of things I didn't like, but I had to go on this thing and figure out how to trade with people. Right. So, I mean, that alone, you know, makes what you do kind of amazing. Right. Because
it's way too much work to take a chance. I'd rather have someone walk me through it and ask a few of the questions. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you come to us, right? For us to do that, you know, that legwork for you, right? And Kenny and Phil, it comes down to culture, right? And, you know, I love the Southwest Airlines culture of lead with love. You love your people, mm-hmm. and they'll love your customers, right? And Kenny, you know Jax enough to know that, you know, by no means do we have everything figured out. By no means are we perfect. You know, we got a lot to work on. But the one thing we do is we do know the things we need to work on, and we're trying to get better at different things every single day. And there was a case in point that happened. And Kenny, I didn't tell you about this. I was talking to the chairman. I was telling him about one of our staff members, and they were really influenced in a positive way in their interactions at Jack's. And this is more on the personal side, not so much the business side. And I told our chairman that, and he said, Tim, and he's 70 years old. He said, that's the reason why I'm still working and why I'm still growing Jack's. It's to hopefully make a positive impact on more people's lives. And really, you know, what do you want it to say on your tombstone at the end of the day, right? You know, I built Jack's into a fabulous, you know, fabulous company. Well, that would be wonderful. Nice. But that's like, that, yeah, that's like going on my tombstone. Hopefully I positively impacted many people's lives. And, you know, when you break it down to that, and that's why, you know, Kenny knows with me, I'm pumped up about the coaching culture. And when we do our goal setting at Jack's with our people, we call it dream sessions because we think that's more sexy. You know, Kenny thinks it's funny, but we think it's sexy, okay. but we're talking about people's personal and professional dreams. Because if I just said to them, you know, what are your goals within Jack's? They're like, well, why don't you care about me as a person? So when I say to you, how can I help you achieve your goals and dreams, both as a person and within your role at Jack's next year, they're going to be a heck of a lot more pumped up to help us achieve our goals because I'm helping them, you know, whatever I can do to support them in other ways in their life.
That's amazing.
You should see Phil. Okay, so walk through it. Walk through. Okay, we hire somebody, right? So let's say we hire a new manager. Yep. What's the next step, Timmy? Like, what do we do?
Once they've signed them,
ready to go. Let's giddy up.
Well, you know, the first thing, I'll take you one step back from hiring, is when we send out the offer, and we have fabulous human performance, director of human performance,
oh, she's Carlin, crazy good.
And she's made a big difference in our company, but she'll send out the offer. And the minute we send out the offer, we'll send out an email to, you know, 10 to 15 of our key staff, our managers, regional managers, category managers, all those kind of people, and bombard this person's inbox with as many, you might call them love notes as you can, saying, hey, really excited you got the offer with Jax. You'll love managing this store, whatever your role is. Here's my role. I've been with Jax for this amount of time. This is why I love it here. Here's what you can expect. You know, and I think we're relatively realistic of what you can expect. Look, we're not going to tell you it's going to be roses every single day, but I can tell you that you're going to be supported, and you'll call me anytime if I can help you make your decision. And so when we first started doing this a few years ago, some people in the company said, oh, that's kind of silly. It sounds kind of sappy. Will people ever, do they care about that? And you wouldn't believe when you ask people in performance reviews or sometimes even exit interviews when they're leaving, why did you join Jax? They said, I was felt welcome the minute, even before I signed on the dotted line. Then, you know, after they sign the dotted line, we do the same thing. I bombard them with emails. So excited to work with you. Here's what we're going to do. And then we get into our onboarding process when they actually start. And for a manager, for example, that's a week-long process, and we'll come into the office one day and we'll go through our whole culture. We'll spend a whole day talking about culture, sales culture, how we're going to build that, how we're going to deal with people, care about people. And hopefully that sets the tone, because look, we still don't do it anywhere near perfectly. And we still need to welcome people even better and better, but that welcoming in the first step when they join the company, really sets us on the right foot.
So Phil, think of it, small company, right? So, you know, because we do have a lot of small retailers and pet stores and stuff that do listen to us, right? Yeah. So this is, you know, at peak before the renovation store and the fire, there's 15 stores only, right? We're not talking 10,000 employees.
Yeah.
And they do full day in the office onboarding, nothing about product, nothing. It's all about the culture and what you're going to learn and who you're going to go to and all. You know, like if from our old worlds, it'd be like the fluffy stuff that you expect when your company's a multinational, or like, you know, like LD with 7,500 employees or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I went in, I thought, like, fuck, are you kidding me? You guys are a small little rinky-dink company and you're doing shit like this. Like, and people are staying. I mean, you got to have a passion for it, because it's not like these people are working for Johnson & Johnson wages either, right? I mean, they're getting paid a living wage. They're doing very well, and it's a cool industry, and you can really have fun with it. But people are sticking around for long periods of time. I'm baffled.
But
in a great way, by the way, Timmy. Great way.
The investment is there, right? Like, I think,
how important, though, eh?
You know, like it's such an amazing thing, like, you know, to invest in your customer and like both ends of your customer, right? Your internal customer, your external customer, it shows through. You've got loyal consumers who continue to come back, right? Because you've invested in them, and you've got employees that aren't going anywhere because you've invested in them. That's amazing, right? Like, I think this is a story that you kind of, you look at all the, you know, for all the small businesses out there who are worried about like the Amazons and, you know, insert great big conglomerate here that's trying to roll over you. This is the sort of investment that you make that allows you to be, you know, not immune, but certainly
this buys you the time,
footing, right? Like, exactly. to compete against those guys.
You know, it buys you time to figure out cool little things to do. But the people aspect of it, and when you go in, this is where my mom gets excited. When you go in and people actually want to serve you, you know, it's like going into government liquor stores, right? Yeah. I mean, there are some very nice people. I've had some just wonderful people in the BC liquor stores. No issues. Mm-hmm. Right. But for the most part, quite frankly, they're just getting paid a really nice salary.
Yeah.
And they don't really give a shit. Nope. And you know, again, if there, people are listening, I'm sorry, but you know, if that's a perception that people have, you need to work on that, not me. Right.
Yeah.
When I go into our stores and someone, I mean, Tim and I were talking, Tim and I are in a store. So Tim's a big shot, big guy in the company. This girl was manager, hopefully going to get to district manager. You know, Joe Cool Consulting goes in with Timmy and we're walking and talking. And this girl's talking to us. Every time a customer came in the store, she dropped us like not a hot potato, like a chunk of lava. Like we were nothing to her.
She was running away from you,
Kenny. To the front door. She dropped us away from you.
You should be used to that by now.
Come on, Phil. I'm a pretty nice guy. Relatively, you know, sometimes maybe even a little nicer than you. Maybe not as nice as Tim. Definitely a little bit nicer than you. Come on.
Kenny, that's obviously Sarah's amazing doing that.
She's
right?
A freak. Sarah
Osborne, regional manager. Like, yeah. I'm on the phone with her, Kenny, and I realize after a minute I'm talking to myself because she's dropped it. She's run after a guest.
Customer, right? You're not important anymore. You're done.
No.
It's over. You're a zero.
Absolutely.
Complete zero.
Yeah.
I mean, came from an old retailer and I know retail part that people will not move because they're fearful of moving from the boss or whatever. Like they've got the wrong attitude. Who gives a shit what the boss is standing there? Stand there. You got all day. Yeah. Go do something. Go face the store. She's got customers, guests. She's wanting to service the people that are there.
That's right. Yeah.
But think of that in small retail, Phil. Look how many times we've talked when you walk into small shops. And in the first couple, 2-3 minutes, nobody's saying anything to you, thinking, come on, guys, man, like, seriously? You know, it's not raining outside. It's not, you know, thunderbolt and lightning. I came here to buy something. You want to sell it or not?
I will tell you that when I work for, I won't say what company, but any one of the brands that I work for, I remember walking into retailers where I really couldn't find anyone. So I remember pulling out a business card and then wandering into the back room to get what I need.
That's awesome. Seriously?
I've done that in,
oh, you're a beauty.
I'm not even sure how many retailers I like, you know, because sometimes you go in and it's out of stock and you're trying to find someone to say, do you have it? Do you not have it? Can you check the system? And then, you know, 20 minutes of waiting around, I get frustrated. So I pull up my card. I know what I'm doing in the back room. So I wander into the area. I find what I need. I'm pretty polite about it. I actually try and stock the shelf with what I can carry.
You're a beauty.
And then I go and I pay and I get out, right? But
oh my God.
It's amazing. Like,
you know what's great about that, Phil and Kenny, is Kenny, we were doing onboarding for our latest round of hires at Jack's yesterday, and one of the things we work on is building rapport with our guests. And even though it's not rocket science, it's things you have to talk about, because one of the things we ask our new team members, and we call them service champions, is, you know, how would you build a rapport with the guests? So a guest comes into the store, we greet them right away, we say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, we greet them in some way. We're not going to stalk them around the store after that. We're going to let them settle in, go to, you know, look for what they need. And once they're ready and settled in, we'll go try and build some rapport. And we'll ask our new team members, you know, how do you build rapport? And people don't really know, right? They'll say, well, should I ask, can I help you? And I said, no, you should never, ever, ever, please never ask, can I help you? Because the answer is always no, because you have not first built rapport that they should care about. You got to show a way to care. And then people start at, you know, talking about, you know, do I talk about the product? This, what question do I ask? You can talk about the product, but you don't have to. Find something that you have potentially in common with that person. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have a little dog. You have a child with you. You know, I love children, or, you know, you're wearing a Canucks hat. I love the Canucks, or, mm-hmm. I like your coat or hair or whatever. Find a way to build some common ground with that person. And then, you know, we can talk about the product too. They're in the Scotch section. You say, oh, my favorite, you know, distiller is Balvenie. You can talk about things like that, but show them, number one, you care. And number two, you actually know what the heck you're talking about, because it's, you know, it's not unusual. Someone comes into the store and, you know, I'm helping them a section. They're like, oh, do you know anything about wine? And I said, well, you know, I don't say this, but I think to myself, I do work at a liquor store, but that's not so common. It doesn't
that
mean anything.
That just means you work in a liquor store.
Right.
So that doesn't even mean you have the keys or can open a door or run a till. It just means that you managed to get through the front door and stand in a liquor store.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying, Phil, is you got to work on it. Yeah. It just doesn't come naturally to just for a stranger to walk in the door and you try to build rapport with them.
But you got to teach people that, Timmy. That's not something, especially today when they've got their phones so far up their in front of their face, they can't see anything.
Yeah.
The art of communication, the art of just walking up to somebody and say, oh my God, those are cool shoes, man.
Yeah.
It's got shit to do with the wine or the beer. Who cares?
Yeah.
But just sometimes I get, just t-shirts. Well, man, that's an awesome t-shirt. Right? I get it all the time if I have an AC/DC. I don't know what it is. My t-shirts aren't that I've got some cool ones and I do get stopped. And it's just, it's just, hey, cool tattoos. I get that or whatever, but it's always things that as opposed to just running up, oh, have you tried this white wine? Cause you're thinking, okay, like get off me, man. I mean, it doesn't always have to be selling, like just talk.
Yeah.
And your people do get it, but that's because you take
the
first freaking week to actually train them, more on people skills than even product knowledge.
Right.
Right.
And it's all about getting to the person into what their complete solution is, right? Whether that may be upselling, that may not be, right? Like asking the right questions to our guests to say, what really do you need? And sometimes they don't know what they need. And asking the right questions because we know what products we have to help them get to that. I mean, the Container Store in the States does an amazing job. They call it man in the desert selling, right? Sell them what their solution is for them. But you got to ask the right questions and build rapport to do that.
Still, it's a skill set though. You can't downplay it or discount it. It's not innate. It's something that for most people, it has to be learned. You've got to practice it. But you also got to give me an environment where that's
it's a core important value and it's absolutely value, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Because otherwise you get a lot of places, they'll tell you I'll do that, but just make sure you sell, man. Just sell.
Yeah.
And we want to sell too, obviously. It's a business. I mean, we're not there, it's not refuge from the storm, right? It's it's not a place to hang out. It's that we're open for business.
Yeah.
But it's nice when you walk out thinking, shit, that was good. I got exactly what I need. Maybe a few things I didn't even know I needed. Mm-hmm. That's okay too.
It's fantastic. I love it.
For a small company, it's amazing. Like seriously, I do find it pretty fascinating the amount of time that is spent on actual people, the resource people, as opposed to just the typical resources of selling and all the other stuff that goes with it. So pretty impressive.
Yay. That's amazing. We're kind of at the end of this. Tim, do you want to
get your plugs in?
Let's get some plugs in here. I mean, if you're in British Columbia, you are looking for Jack's, JAK'S, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. At Jack's Beer, Wine, and Spirits. You can find us online at Jack's, JAKS.com. Also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the socials at Jack's Liquor. And we have stores throughout Greater Vancouver, 9 stores in Greater Vancouver. You'll find 2 stores in Campbell River on Vancouver Island and Penticton and Williams Lake. So you could also find me on LinkedIn. Look for Tim Dumas, and that's D-U-M-A-S. And I would love to connect with any of you and find you the perfect bottle of wine.
Do you want to pass your email out just in case people do want to talk, maybe either a career opportunity or maybe if you want to learn a little about scotch or you really do want that bottle of wine? Tim, he'll do it. Trust me. If you ping him, the odds of answering are massively high and you might actually buy a bottle of wine or two.
Absolutely. Love to. Yeah. My email is tim.dumas at jacks.com. And Kenny, you can call me anytime. I will help any guest that they need to.
Yeah, I'm not doing cell phones on here because that's a little aggressive.
You know what?
You guys can ping me and I'll do it for you.
What's funny though, Kenny, I was reading, have you heard of John DeJulius? He writes a book called The Customer Service Revolution. Have you heard of that, Phil?
Yeah, that's a great book.
Yeah. He wrote in the book, he said, I think it was his spa, a group of spas that he owns. And he said, if ever you have any trouble, if ever you need me, here's my personal email and my personal cell number, email me or call me. And he said, most people didn't, he was extremely rare that anyone abused his cell number.
Yeah.
But he said, because he was willing to go out there and do that, people were much more willing to reach out to him because they felt that he cared.
Yeah,
which is great, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Very cool. So,
that's awesome.
I love it.
Pleasure with you guys.
See, this wasn't that bad.
Thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us. We
no prep.
Yeah, no prep, yeah, but you don't need to prep. Like you, like what you do in your stores is amazing. Yeah, yeah, it's a great story.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Pretty cool, Timmy. Thanks for doing this for me.
Hey, thanks. Anytime. Would love to love to connect with you anytime. Thanks again, guys. It's my pleasure.
All right. Awesome. Thanks so much,
Philly boy. We'll chat with you later in the week.
Later. Yeah, you got it.
Sounds good, okay. Gentlemen. Thanks, guys. Have a nice evening.
Okay. Have a great evening.
Ciao.
Bye.
All right, that's the end of this Commerce Life. We'll be back soon with the next episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. Give us feedback. Tell us what you think. Subscribe, like us, join us, share us, tell your friends about us. And we hope to see you next time with more Commerce News.